Christian greetings, everyone, to the Worldwide Truth Provided broadcast. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry doing my part as one of many watchmen on the wall. The clock is ticking, and the soon arrival of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is one day closer to fulfillment. The website where you can find all that I'm about to share with you and much, much more is, of course, www.remnantofgod.org. I have a couple articles I want to share with you in today's broadcast, the first one being, headline, Anti-War Sermon Brings IRS Warning. The subheadline reads, All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena Risks Losing Its Tax-Exempt Status Because of a Former Rector's Remarks in 2004. This is on the Times, the online version of the Times. Okay, the article goes on to say, The Internal Revenue Service has warned one of Southern California's largest and most liberal churches that it is at risk of losing its tax-exempt status because of an anti-war sermon 2 days before the 2004 presidential election. Rector J. Edwin Bacon of All Saints Episcopal Church in Pasadena told many congregants during morning services Sunday that a guest sermon by the church's former rector, the Reverend George F. Regas, on October 31, 2004, had prompted a letter from the IRS. In his sermon, Regas, who from the pulpit opposed both the Vietnam War and the 1991's Gulf War, imagined Jesus participating in a political debate with then-candidates George W. Bush and John Kerry. Regas said that good people of profound faith could vote for either man and did not tell parishioners whom to support. But he criticized the war in Iraq, saying that Jesus would have told Bush, Mr. President, your doctrine of preemptive war is a failed doctrine, forcibly changing the regime of an enemy that opposed no imminent threat has led to disaster. On June 9th, the church received a letter from the IRS stating that a reasonable belief exists that you may not be a tax-exempt as a church. The federal tax code prohibits tax-exempt organizations, including churches, from intervening in political campaigns and elections. The letter went on to say that our concerns are based on a November 1, 2004 newspaper article in the Los Angeles Times and a sermon presented at the All Saints Church discussed in the article. The IRS cited the Times story's description of the sermon as a searing indictment of the Bush administration's policies in Iraq and noted that the sermon described tax cuts as inimical to the values of Jesus, as Bacon spoke, a 1984 Nobel Peace Prize winner, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a co-celebrant of Sunday's Requiem Eucharist, looked on. Gee, isn't that amusing, a Roman Catholic bishop in an Episcopal church. Anyway, continuing, it says, We are so careful at our church never to endorse a candidate, Bacon said in an interview later. One of the strongest sermons I've ever given was against President Clinton's fraying of the social safety net. Telephone calls to IRS officials in Washington, D.C. and Los Angeles were not returned. On a day when the churches through California took stands on both sides of Proposition 73, which would bar abortions for minors unless parents are notified, some of All Saints feared the politically active church had been singled out. I think, obviously, we were a bit shocked and dismayed, said Bob Long, senior warden for the church's oversight board. We felt somewhat targeted, Bacon said. The church had retained the services of a Washington law firm with expertise in tax-exempt organizations, and he told the congregations, it's important for everyone to understand that the IRS concerns are not supported by the facts. After the initial inquiry, the church provided the IRS with a copy of the literature given out before the election and copies of its policies. Bacon said the IRS recently informed the church that it was not satisfied by those materials and would proceed with formal examination. Soon after that, church officials decided to inform the congregation about the dispute. In an October letter to the IRS, Marcus Owens, the church's tax attorney and former head of the IRS tax-exempt section, said, It seems ludicrous to suggest that a pastor cannot preach about the value of promoting peace simply because the nation happens to be at war during an election season. Owens said that an IRS audit team had recently offered the church a settlement during a face-to-face meeting. They said if there was a confession of wrongdoing, they would not proceed to the exam stage. they would be willing not to revoke tax-exempt status if the church admitted intervening in an election. Okay. Do you find this amazing? I do. This is regardless of the fact that it's a Sunday-keeping church. As many know, I don't keep Sunday holy. That's Roman Sabbath. That has nothing to do with Scripture. In fact, you can go from Genesis to Revelation. You're not going to find a single verse anywhere in the Bible that says God changed the Sabbath from the seventh day of the week to the first day of the week for the Christians. And if you can find that verse, I'll give you $10,000 cash. There's a page on my website all about that. Anyway, if the church admits to doing wrong, even though they didn't, the IRS will drop the case? You know, this sounds like extortion, plain and simple. Problem here is, it's actually legal, and the church has asked for the IRS to hoard this over them, as many churches have already done this. And what do I mean by that? Well, greed. Greed has caused the preachers of filthy lucre, which is, of course, money, to give the IRS the upper hand on this one. This was planned long ago. It's already written into the fabric of the law of the land that if you're a church, you're tax exempt. But if you are such a man that loves money and you want to be able to walk into Walmart or a car dealership or even pick up groceries at the local Shop and Save without paying the sales taxes, well, you can if you get a 501c3 tax ID number. Thing is, that tax ID number is only supposed to be used for legitimate business purchases. Most preachers get this ID number to illegally evade the sales tax when purchasing large items. That greed has caused them this problem. Fact is, we should do as Jesus said when the Pharisees tried to trick him into publicly speaking against Caesar by using the tax card. He said, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's," in Luke chapter 20, verse 25. The 501c3 tax number is a trap. It is designed to allow big government a foothold into the churches. They figured this out many, many, many years ago because they knew what they were going to do today many years ago. Yes, charitable organizations and big businesses should have a break, but churches don't need this. The IRS can and will use this against them just as easy as any back alley loan shark snaps bones. Had they read the fine print when signing up for the already guaranteed tax-free status, they would have seen what the IRS placed in the code. The article stated that the federal tax code prohibits tax-exempt organizations, including churches, from intervening in political campaigns and elections. Yes, it's a vague statement, but that's the beauty of it. They can go after anyone they wish with this law, as long as they're greedy enough to sign on the dotted line. You know, that's what comes from what your mommy and daddy taught you when you were a little kid. Read that fine print. Next article. This came out on April 6, 2005. IRS to target, or the headline reads, IRS to target religious nonprofit ministries. Article says, last year, Christian Headlines reported that the IRS has launched an investigation into 2,000 nonprofit organizations. This week, Internal Revenue Commissioner Mark W. Everson addressed the Senate Finance Committee about his organization findings. He also presented the committee with a 14-page letter representing an overview of the investigation. From the letter is this, they share in the article. This is posted by Christian Headlines at 7:43 a.m. on April 6th. You can get, ChristianHeadlines.com. All right, it says, a corporation's sole is an entity authorized under certain state laws to allow religious leaders to hold property and conduct business for benefit of a religious entity. The leader may incorporate under state law in his capacity as a religious official. A corporate sole may own property and enter into contracts as a natural person, but only for the purpose of religious entity. Title in property that vests in the office holder as a corporation's sole passes to the successors in office, and not the office holder's heirs. The purpose of a corporation's sole is to ensure continuity of ownership of property dedicated to the use of a religious organization. The corporation, sole form of organization, serves a valid function for legitimate religious entities. However, some promoters are urging use of corporation's sole status for tax evasion. Individuals incorporate under the pretext of being a bishop of a religious organization or society. The idea promoted is that the arrangement entitles the individual to exempt from federal income taxes as a nonprofit religious organization described in Section 501c3. The position is utterly without merit. Notice they mention 501c3 here. Stay tuned. This week's Christian Headlines will have more news. It was on from there. Okay, it appears greed has gotten the best of many ministries as well now. Truth is, like I said earlier, the only benefit of getting a 501c3 for a ministry is for the sole purpose of walking into a department store to buy, you know, items tax-free. Most do so illegally by buying items, not ministry-specific. You know? That greed forced many to incorporate their ministries with the state to get that tax-free status and save a few bucks. And if you're incorporated with the state, you are already forming an image of the beast. The church and state entity, that's the image of the beast. Roman Catholic Church is a church and a state at the same time. The problem is, by incorporating, they have now allowed the state to do as the law allows. I mean, once you give them the okay, it's just like bringing satanic items into your home. Once you give the devil permission to be there, he's gonna play his games. Anyone care to venture a guess as to how many ministries will not only be shut down but forced to pay back taxes and have massive penalties? Let's say you've been in ministry 20 years. The Vatican-controlled IRS doesn't much care for your message, so the IRS now feels you broke the agreement and therefore no longer are a tax-free entity. What's worse, they'll go back to the date of the 501c3 conception, the day you got that legal incorporated tax-free status. And then they'll calculate what they feel what you should have paid in taxes during those years, and then they'll add penalties alongside of excise taxes. So, in essence, they're shutting you down. That can and usually does amount to millions of dollars, sufficiently ending the ministry and silencing that voice. If it's a ministry that has any, if it's been around for that long and it has money coming in, they have that, option with the excise taxes. Well, they can do that with just mom and pop kettle, too, so it doesn't really matter. So I ask, was it worth using deception to illegally get tax-free toys over the years? I mean, the devil will use any foothold, people. A little white lie is just as powerful as a 501c3 tax-free status. That's a lie when you step forward and you look at it that way, and you're also forming the image of the beast when you grab such a tax-free status. Now do you understand how a foothold such as this, being as minuscule when you first see it, can become such a very destructive force? I have a page on the website that goes into a little bit more detail about this. It's in the warning section of the site. Pretty sure it's in the warning. Yep, it's in the warnings section of the website. It's called Roman Catholic IRS. To get the 501c3 tax-free status nowadays, you have to agree with Roman Catholic doctrine, and you have to agree not to apostatize anybody outside the Roman Catholic Church to join yours. They're supposed to be allowed to be a member of your church and stay in the membership of the Catholic Church at the same time. It's specifically mentioned in these things, too. There was a preacher, I believe he was a Baptist preacher, that they attacked and destroyed in Indiana. And it's all been documented and stuff, and that's on the website there for those that want to check it out. So, with that said, that's about it for today's broadcast. I hope you enjoyed this broadcast. If you happen to come in the middle of it or at the end of the broadcast, not to worry. I plan to do a rebroadcast of it multiple times during the week. If you're unable to catch the program as it's aired, simply go to remnantofgod.org, click the Antique Radios on the main page. From that page, you'll be able to surf to the archives of this radio program. You can listen online or download MP3s at your leisure. This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministries saying until next time, I pray the Lord blesses you and yours with the desire to be the Christian He created you to be. Thank you for listening, and remember, the truth is provided in the Word of God. God bless.